Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Welcome to the very last episode of 2020. This is the podcast Nobody Panic.
I'm Stevie Martin.
I'm Tessa Coates. And here we are, cresting through almost to the end of this year. Nothing's going to change, obviously, by midnight, but, you know.
It's nice to think it will.
Nice to imagine, isn't it?
Set some goals, set some aims.
Anyway, this is the last one of the year, and then there's going to be a little break in January, and we'll be back in February.
We've got a little Jan break. Jan's taking a break.
Yeah.
And so we can't do the podcast without her.
Our HR department manager, Jan, is off for the month, going to the Bahamas.
But we'll be back in Feb for some hot, I imagine, Valentine's Day content, because that's the only thing that happens in February, probably.
Yeah.
Or not, send us some emails and give us some fun things you want to hear us talk about and help you out with in Jan. Because today is also one of those instances where we've got an email from somebody and we thought, that is a good episode idea. I would also like to learn how to do that, please.
This one, I think both of us were like, oh yeah.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. That noise is the noise that we made. Should I read the email out, Stevie?
Yeah, sure. We're not going to say your actual name.
No.
Just in case you don't want
do
it.
You wanna,
we're going to call you Joan.
Joan. My grandma's name is Joan. My middle name is Joanne. And they said that was after my grandma. And my grandma said, no.
That's not my name, is it?
That's not the same, is it?
So, is that the grandmother had the dead owl in the fridge?
That's the one. Anyway, Joan, thank you for your email, Joan. So she says, dear Stevie and Tess, and then there's some praise, which we'll skip over, but let's just say we enjoyed hearing the praise. Anyway, I would love if you did an episode on how to stop self-sabotaging. Joan, and this is the point, our ears pricked up. It's not the same as procrastination or starting a creative task, etc. I have no real issue with getting something started or planning how to get something done. My issue is when and only when something is important to me, I will completely sabotage myself. Achieve a fitness goal and proud with my weekly progress, I will immediately go and eat every chocolate cake and or fried item I can find. Want to get my short film made? Cue not getting back to numerous emails after writing and getting partway through production. If a task isn't important to me, I tend to be able to do it. Triathlon my aunt signed me up to? Sure. Assistant director for commercial? Why not? But when something has high stakes personally, you bet I will find a way to make myself fail. Help! Thank you and best of luck, Joan. Kiss, kiss.
And very good.
Really
and very relatable.
So relatable and very also self-aware. Self-aware enough not just to say, oh yeah, I self-sabotage, but to acknowledge that it's when it's things that are important to her.
Yes. Do you recognize yourself in this, Tessa?
Very much so. And I think everybody will, and they don't have to be, maybe you're thinking, oh, I don't have a problem with the eating, you know, you might be like having a fitness goal and then eating something. Wouldn't even cross my mind. But then in some other ways, in your personal life, in your professional life, in all kinds of things, I think we're all completely guilty of self-sabotage, and we wouldn't call it that word necessarily. We just think like, oh, this thing, I don't know why I do it, you know?
It's like I'm lying to myself. So I will be like, oh, I'm really, it will always be like, oh, I seem to have gone out and gone really hard the day before I'm supposed to be doing something I'm really frightened about. It's like, oh, here I am again, hungover, trying to do something to the best of my ability. Why have I done that? And what a strange coincidence.
What a strange coincidence, yeah.
And then you realize, oh, it's not a coincidence.
Oh, it's not. For me, it's like the phone charger. Like I will leave the house knowing there isn't enough percent on the phone. And why? Why? You know? I know it's crazy. But before
Shall we do adult things?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say we're chomping at the bit to get in.
Well, what's the most adult thing you've done this week, Tessa?
Mine takes my breath away. It's so dull. I have a very small little galley kitchen. And I have been trying my, you know, when you get really into like desperate trying to utilize space correctly. I have discovered that the under the sink area is both cavernous and badly organized. Because as I imagine most people's are, it's just full of bags for life and cleaning products that you've never seen before and didn't buy. Oh God. I've attached a little shelf under the other door into which I have packed test those bags, not the hard plastic bag for lice, but like a more classic Tesco's bag. Have you seen on Instagram or whatever where somebody shows you how to make them into tiny little triangles?
We get served very different Instagram.
Do we? Content. Do we really?
Yes. I've never had anything like that. I get clothes and vegan cheese. That's sort of it.
I get insane interiors of animals that look like lamps and... this calming storage hack will blow your mind. Like, that is it.
Your algorithm is so cruel to you.
I know. And it will not stop showing me people who fold their, and some of you are like, yeah, I get the triangle bags. Okay, so a cleaning lady is not somebody, a famous, I don't know who she is. I don't even follow these people. How do they find me? Has said, like, if you take your big Tesco's bag, you can fold it into a little tiny, neat triangle like this big,
okay,
and then you can like sort of store it neatly.
It's a lot of time for essentially the difference is it's in a triangle.
What a waste of space and life, just so you can look at your pointy triangle bags. Anyway, the end of the story is that I installed a little spice rack on the inside of the under the sink drawer, and it's full of the triangles.
Great.
Yeah, if I could carry you to see it, I would, but I can't, so I'll send you a picture. Yeah,
that's lovely. And you know,
if I felt nothing, I've honestly, sure, I looked upon my creation and I felt numb. I was like, there's nothing for me here.
My one is actually, it's an organizational thing, but it's not as interesting. I've got a bathroom cupboard, I'm so sorry everybody, and in it, it's just like an array of things. I've got like, I don't know, a bowl where it's like everything's in there. And then there's like some pots. Anyway, under my bed, I bought like years ago, you know, there's like transparent Muji like little drawers.
I know
that
them
come
very
out,
well. I don't care for them.
That stack. Mm-hmm. I found them and was like, oh, I didn't even know I had that. Went through all of my stuff, threw away all the stuff that was like, yeah, some hand cream from 2009, and then sorted everything out. So it's like, we'll see how long it lasts. But now I didn't realize how stressed I was whenever I went into that cupboard, which was three times a day, until I wasn't stressed anymore. And then I was like, oh, this, God, I've been holding on to this for a long time.
Wow.
So that was quite nice.
We've done very similar under the cupboard things.
Yes, slightly, like mine as well. Mine's slightly too much time on my hands. But like, yeah,
well,
sometimes it helps.
Going forward, if every day you look at it and you're stressed, and now you think like, that's, I know where things go. God.
Being an adult is boring, isn't it? Okay.
Right, come on.
Do you remember when we first started this podcast? I think one of my adult things is like, I didn't get hammered on Friday. And now it's like, I sorted out my bathroom cupboard and I'm genuinely moved. Like, that's very difficult.
Well, you remember the other day? Well, I don't know, months ago, when there was a girl crying on my wall when I walked home, and then I had to put her in a taxi. And I was like, oh, I used to be her.
Yeah.
And now I'm the weird woman who cares for you.
Ugh. I'd like a weird woman to put me in a taxi when I was 25.
Yeah, I know.
Right, let's get on
to
it.
Come on, let's get in here. We're self-sabotaging.
It's the same with so many things, but you can think that self-sabotage is just a terrible part of your personality. oh, what, I'm an idiot. Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. But it's actually, as ever, got an evolutionary purpose. And that's why everybody will have it to some degree, even if it's very, very small, tiny one.
Yeah.
And that we have to learn to how to manage it rather than get rid of it. Because you'll never be able to get rid of that voice, but you can learn to listen to it and go, not today.
May I say my self-sabotagey things before we...
Oh my God, of course. With my stuff. Look, me just barreling in like a self-sabotaging prick.
No. I was just thinking then, maybe, because maybe people are thinking like, I'm not really sure what I self-sabotage.
Yes.
But my personal ones would be letting things, the phone, the phone, misorganization of time, knowing I have an important thing at some time and doing other stuff, not just like being serious about it and being there for the call or the meeting or whatever. Crisps.
Talk me through, expand on that.
Sometimes I know the eating things for me is not so much a weight thing so much as it is like I'm largely intolerant to a large number of things. And then I eat them, you know. That
Yes, that is correct.
Or like not having enough today. Like I don't mean like, oh, I know I haven't eaten enough today. I should eat a nutritious, healthy broth and instead eating a bag of kettle chips. And then being like, oh, look, I feel even worse. And being like, you're an idiot. And people say things to you like, you must care for yourself as you would for a baby. And you wouldn't just feed a baby a bag of kettle chips and nothing else. And yet I don't, that's me, that and the food. And the work, like allowing myself to like go right to the last minute, working through the night, like doing stuff I know, not helping my future self when I know I should and could.
The being like, oh, what will future Stevie think? It's really, really, like really altered how I am able to cope. So that might be quite helpful as well. Mm. Thinking like actually creating, maybe it's just it's a mad thing to do, but like literally creating future you and being like, So many times I say to myself aloud, future Stevie will be sad that you didn't do this. And I say it aloud
That's
around the flat
really nice.
Constantly. And I really feel future Stevie. And then when I do the thing, I am future Stevie and I will thank past Stevie. Right.
That's it's not, so nice.
It doesn't make me sound very stable, but it's the only thing that gets me through.
It's the most stable thing in the world. It's literally the crux of everything. It's like understanding your short-term versus long-term concept of like, in the short term, yes, these crisps are delicious. In the long term, and the long term is 45 minutes later, you'll be quite sick. Like, like any, and then it stops. The first thing on it is that like your present self stops enjoying the stuff so much because you know that the future self is watching you being like, fuck you, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, even people, so I would say that I have like I'm like a control freak about myself. So like, and I've self-sabotaged myself by being so controlling that actually you need to have a balance. Like there needs to be a balance between, you know, I've just said earlier, like, don't pretend that you don't have this. Like it's, don't like be like, I am absolutely fine. Like everybody will have an element of like, ooh, do that. And then you won't have to do this. And you just have to embrace it and learn and like become friends with it. Cause you will have your own personal little elf on your shoulder being like, don't take your phone charger. It's like, why?
Yeah.
It's like,
why?
Cause then you'll get out of it. Ah, good one. Yeah, it's good. It works. And that's the problem. It works.
Do you know what I think it is for me? I think my elf is saying, you can do it anyway. Like you can get through the day on 13%. I think it's like a sort of thrill ride thing.
Oh, this is, yes, this is like when we were talking about what type of late person we each are, and you were like, I enjoy the thrill of just running onto the train as the doors are closing. And I was like, I actually don't relate. That's one of the first things you told me, I don't relate to it at all. Like, I can't.
I think it's that of like.
That's interesting.
And then, so it's not just, for me, it's not, I don't want to do the phone call. I do want to do the phone
call.
It's like, you can do it. And I'm like, statistically.
It's like Superman complex.
I can't. We know
it's
I can't.
It's the same thing as like when you see, or when one sees, it takes 14 minutes to get somewhere. And you're like, I'll do it in 5. It's like, well, no, you actually can't physically do that in 5. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah. Yeah, that's true. With like the late thing as well, that is kind of an element. And if you're having sort of been around you when you are going to somewhere, you will just be like, yeah, it's fine. Whereas I'll be like, yeah. And then inside I'm like, it's not booked. Because I can't help but see that it's the time it's that we're supposed to exactly. be there and we're still here.
And it's the sort of thing that you only do learn over repeated performances to be like, oh, it's not. It's not.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Let's get into the why. Why do we do it?
Well, the why, the evolutionary reason is, and it's not just to like fuck ourselves over. It's your brain self-preserving and safeguarding and defending yourself even when it's not needed. So it's the same thing as when we were talking about jealousy and when your brain kind of goes like, when someone does something. It's actually evolutionarily useful because it will push you to do the thing that you're jealous of. So I don't know, in the old days when it's like, oh, that guy, that person is always doing all the good hunting. Well, that will then push you to be a better hunter if you are competitive, because we are all very competitive by nature. Even if you're not, as a human being, you are competitive to some degree. So this is the same sort of thing. If you were about to do something that really would harm you or be frightening, then the idea of like getting out of it would be a positive thing, because your brain's like, your brain can't see nuance. So it's just like, she doesn't want to do this, so get her out of it. Abort. But the problem is that it then extends to things that actually are just anything remotely out of the comfort zone, including a phone call, which you actually are fine doing.
So this happened to me this week. I went out, I had a call at 5. I didn't get home in time and I was like, I'll do it on the bus, and the phone ran out of battery. And I was only a few minutes late to the call, but I emailed ahead, and like as the phone was dying and was like, can we push it back? And I do think if it had been like, oh, I've got a call with my grandma, or I've got an important thing that I wanted to do and I knew was important, so I think I wouldn't have behaved like that. I think I didn't want to do the call. It was about tax. I don't think I wanted to do the call, Stevie.
Yes. So your elf is going like, you'll be able to do it. But then your elf has a subconscious, and your elf on your shoulder is going, also, I don't want to do it. Like, it's so deep.
It's so deep. It's me. My elf is like, we can do it. And then deep down is like, because I don't think my elf would be like, we can do it if it was grandma. I'd be like, of course, it's so important. Make sure the phone's charged up. Make sure I've got a battery pack.
Also, it's a nice call. It's a low pressure environment. It's a nice call.
I want to talk to grandma. Yeah, you're so right. Oh,
is it as
God.
Well? Is it linked to, and God. Please forgive me if it's not, but is it linked to, so when I think of two things. When I think of like going to like, and when I say fancy event, I mean just like drinks or a Christmas party, like one of our mutual friends' houses or something. I think of you, firstly, I think of you looking excellent, but I also think of you arriving with wet hair. Is that the same sort of thing where it's like, oh, I'm stressed about the idea of like, because I have that where I'm like, when I get stressed about the idea of like having to go to something dressed like something, or like there's a tiny bit of pressure to like, well, I have to do my hair and wear a thing, that then I will be late because I'll be like, I'll just sort of push it to the nth degree because I'm like, well, I don't really want to do it. Or is that a separate thing?
I think that is, and it's lots of things. It's both like time mismanagement, but I think underneath the time mismanagement is something that I think runs through a lot of self-sabotage, which is this massive thing that is both the fear of your own failure and fear of your own success, of like,
you'll look too good.
I'll look too good. That's that's genuinely what holds me back when I'm late to weddings and I show up with wet hair. I'm worried I'll look too good. I think it's to do with like, you have an image in your mind of like how you'll look at this party, or like you'll put this dress on and suddenly you'll be lovely and you'll be a lovely guest or whatever. And then you do and you're like, oh,
got a sock in my hair and my hair's wet.
God. And I think the sock in the hair thing is like, you're like, yeah, well, I couldn't be my best. And it's a way of preventing yourself from seeing you at your true best and realizing how much you'll find yourself lacking. Whereas if
that's so deep.
Whereas if you are, you're like, oh, well, my hair's wet. Of course, I'm not my best. Like, but I'm here.
Because I was running late, so I couldn't possibly
be my best. And it is just a constant way of never allowing yourself to be forced to look upon your actual best and see what that is and how much you don't, you know, that you aren't impressed with it.
That works perfectly if you turn that into, so if you're listening being like, I'm fine with parties, but there's lots of people I know, and also I've done it as well, where that works exactly with work. So like, I used to be a commissioning editor, so I would commission freelance writers to write for publications. It was The Debrief mainly, but then I would do it for magazines as well. And I found it absolutely astonishing because that's something that I don't do, but I do it, the things in other ways. But I find it astonishing how people would self-sabotage. Like they wouldn't submit. And it was like their first, like they were so excited to write for this publication, but then they like wouldn't hit the deadline, would send something that was not finished. And so then I would just not ever commission them again, because at the start I would really like try, because I'd be like, oh, but I was like, no, you're not going to learn if I just like do it for you. So now, so you're just not. But then as I got older and like, I then realized that that is actually, it's not, I would just think people were lazy, but actually it's not. That's exactly the same thing. It's not one. I had a friend who basically like, he would do plays and stuff. He'd like direct plays, but he would always leave no time, and it would always be like, oh yeah, we couldn't really do it really. And it was like, do you want to do it properly or not at all? But then now I obviously see it was a real
fear
problem
of your own failure and fear of your own success, fear of looking upon your best work and seeing what it truly is.
That's the worst feeling. And that happens so regularly with me, where I'll like try really hard and be like, yeah, I mean, it's not great, is it? But you have to but the more you do it, and I think that's one of the biggest things, is like, the more you do your best and see where it's lacking, the next time you do your best, you will be able to start to see it as what it is, which is your best. So like, it's like a practice thing, that the more you do it, the less you will feel that gap between perfection and what you've created, and the more comfortable you'll feel with you'll start to compete with yourself, which is, that can become a problem, but it's a lot more healthy than never seeing what you're capable of, if you know what I mean.
I think we're talking about the same friend, who directed these plays. Yeah. He's someone I found extremely fascinating, because he's arguably one of the naturally talentedest people, I think. And yet, time after time was this self-sabotaging behavior of like, oh, we didn't have the money. Oh, we didn't have the time. Oh, we had to do this last minute. Always putting something in place to make sure that everybody knew that this was not the best. This was good, but not the best. And this, I think, is something that is so common in people who were smart teenagers and who got away with it at school. His A-levels, the day before his A-levels, he was invited to a party with somebody very rich. They stayed up all night. He walked from the party, having been awake all night, to his English A-level and did his English A-level exam and got the best results in the country. That behavior is so deep in you when you learn that you can wing it. You can get away with that. So therefore being presented...
Until
you can't. And then it's such a massive crushing failure. Here's a very important analogy I've been working on for many years.
Okay.
I believe in life. and you can be one, and they can change for in different aspects. You can be it one for one thing and one thing for another. But I believe in life, you are either a horse or a pony. Now,
okay,
stay with it, everybody. The difference between a horse and a pony is merely size. So a pony will never become a horse, I
thought a pony was a baby horse.
Yes, a very common misconception among most people. Anyway, so the difference is merely in height. They are the same breed, but just two different strands of the family. But the thing about them is that ponies are unbelievably clever. Like, they're really smart. They're really cheeky. They're like, they will let themselves out of their stable and then they will let everybody else out. Like, they just want to do, they just want to fuck things up. They want to be funny. They do things because they're naughty. A horse just behaves. It does what it is told. So at the beginning of your life, this is the thing about being a naughty teenager. A pony is exactly the sort who can get on the bus at GCSEs, hungover, do their homework on the bus and still get an A star. And the moment that you learn that, the very first time you haven't revised and you still did well in that test, or you got away with something, you learned to wing it, you can't ever come back. You're always just like, well, I'm never fucking doing it again. A horse never does that. A horse does its homework. It shows up on time. It's there behaving. And so it seems like you're like, oh, well, it seems better to be a pony, right? But a pony ain't never going to the Olympics. Like, a pony's never going the distance, you know, not in the way that a horse can. And so when it comes to it, when you're younger and smaller, it does seem cool to be a pony, but ultimately you've got to be a horse. And it seems like boring and diligent and tedious to be a horse, but you've got to be a horse.
You've got to learn horse tendencies.
You've got to learn horse tendencies.
If you want to like achieve. So there's like three main self-sabotage habits, which is procrastination, which isn't self-sabotaging in and of itself, but when it becomes, you'll know if you're listening, if you use it in a self-sabotaging way. I use it as well. Negative self-talk and overly critical thinking. And that's where that gap between, well, that's the first part of where that gap between like what you want to do and how you want it to be. So you almost don't want to look at what your best work would be because it's like the light is too bright and it will show you that you are not what you think you could be. And that goes hand in hand with perfectionism. So if you're a perfectionist, you will be so much more likely to be self-sabotaging, which is, when you think about it, incredibly cruel because perfectionists just want to be perfect. So they are more likely to absolutely screw their life up. Not their life up, the things that they would like to be perfect, which then they will take so much harder than the average person because they are a perfectionist. So a lot of it, the root cause of it will be you're not lazy, you're not stupid. You just want to be the best. Mm. And you unfortunately can't be the best until you start to, it's like you know, when people don't look at their bank balance and then like run out of money and they're like, why? It's like, well, you unfortunately need to look at the bank balance regularly. You need to get an app. You need to look at what, because otherwise how are you ever going to be able to keep track of your money? How are you ever going to progress if you don't look at what your limits are and go, okay, I'm good at this, but I'm not good at this? Or like, you know, even like I'll take writing, for example. Like, I used to be like that. I would write, I mean, now it's kind of out of me because I've written so many things and got so many terrible feedback constantly, because that's what being a journalist is. You just get editors being like, no, and you're like, okay. But at the start, like, I was absolutely terrified to write an article. I was absolutely terrified. And then it's just through practice and being told. So now if an editor like edits my stuff in a way that I think is just poorly done, I now have enough confidence to go, that's poorly done. Mm. Mine was better. I don't have that with many things because I've not practiced it enough. With like comedy, I'm like, yes, whatever you say is right. Because I've only done it for a few years. But like, you have to like be aware that it's so important to see your limitations, that what you create will not, or what you write or what you do, how you look at the party, you're never going to be like 10 out of 10 for any of it. If you don't see yourself at 3 out of 10 and go, okay, this is where I am. How can I improve? This sounds very bad when I'm thinking about appearances. No, you're a 3 out of 10. I don't mean that. But
yeah, I think that's exactly it. Like, Joan, you know, wants to make a short film, doesn't, you know, stops herself. It's because, you know, she's suddenly like, oh, here it is. I'm actually going to have to do it now. And I was going to see that this short film isn't what it's like when I imagine it in my mind. But like, everybody...
It won't be. It won't, it's the first one.
But it will be so much better than nothing. Like,
yeah,
you know, I remember another friend who was obsessed with the idea that like Stanley Kubrick had never made anything bad, and I was like, I don't think that's true. And then it took me like 7 seconds on the internet to be like, yeah, he made this short film called like Dog's Day Out. Like, he made several terrible looking things because he had to learn on his way to making masterpieces. You don't just come out the gate doing it. You must make a trail of crap. You must make bad stuff. You must, in order to learn to make good stuff.
But if you are self-sabotaging for things that aren't necessarily like creative or making things, yeah. You're self-sabotaging, for example, yeah, with like, oh, there's a phone call and I'm just going to make it so weirdly I can't take that phone call, like because it's an important phone call, and or if it's a meeting or it's a presentation, like I'm just going to make sure that I'm not at my best for some reason. The only way that you'll be able to get through that is to learn why you're doing it. Like that's the only way. So if you can't do that yourself, then I know it's, you know, we say it a lot, and we've got an episode about how to get therapy, but getting therapy for those reasons is so important, because I think people often, and I've had quite a few conversations with people recently who are like, oh, I don't really want to do therapy, because, and it's because they don't have like the big Hollywood therapy thing, like someone has died, so they are grieving. They are depressed or they are anxious. So they're like, oh, I'm not going to go. But if you are self-sabotaging regularly, you know why, and you can't stop, then that's a perfect reason to go to therapy. You need to talk to somebody.
You need to sit with some. No, I was just going to say exactly like what you did to me when I was like, I leave the house without the phone. And I was like, I know what the problem is. My elf is like, we can do it. And then you're like, what is your elf saying? You need to go to therapy to find what your elf it wants, you know, and that's something that you can't do on your own because it's so deep and so buried. You need to sit with somebody who's like, why do you think you do that? And you'd be like, I don't know. And they're like, do you think it's this? And you can be like, you know.
One of the other like main things is to change your pattern of behavior. So that's much easier said than done, because if you take things like, I don't know, going to the gym or something, you're like, oh, I want to go to the gym. And then you just don't go to the gym for the next 5 years, which is what happens with most people. Like, obviously changing that pattern would be go to the gym. But like, if you could do that, you'd do it. But you have to look at other ways to trick your brain into, I hate the gym analogy now, but let's stick with it, going to the gym. Okay, I'm just going to go for 10 minutes. I'm going to go for 10 minutes once a week.
Yeah.
That is achievable. And then suddenly you'll find, okay, I could do 15 minutes. And so you're like, okay, let's just try twice a week. Even if those incremental little baby steps don't, like is over the course of, you know, a decade, and then you only, after a decade, you're only doing 20 minutes once a week. That's still more than you were doing before. You are still going to the gym. Like you have to know what your behavior is, and you do know it. Like if you really sit with it and think, so, you know, why do I do this? Or what happens? Think about something that you've in your life that you've been so excited to do and how you have reacted to it in the run-up, and you will find self-sabotaging things. You know, like, unfortunately, there's not like top five simple way, because it's so complicated, but it's all about like, yeah, unpicking it and realizing that you will have limitations because you're a human being, so you won't be able to be perfect ever, but like at least push it, like push and see how far you can fly. Like, why not?
I think a lovely expression that I don't know where it comes from, but I imagine the deep south is, you're too busy chasing cows to build a fence.
Feels like the deep south,
right? You're too busy dealing with the surface level problem, which is like the cows escape, and every day you're like, oh god, get the cows, and then you're like, build a fence, mate. Like, just go to the root of the problem. And so I think me being like, the crisps, the phone, the work, the last minute work behavior, I need to write them down, be like, here are my things, this is why, this is the deep why, and then be like, okay, now what are the things I can put in place to make sure I always, you know. And so if that's like, oh, crisps are an easy thing to buy and quick, be like, if that's your problem, and you know, what are the other things that you can always have in the house? Or like, what can you...
Yeah, that are really quick. And also, like, be aware of it as well. Speak to yourself. Like, the moment you find yourself being like, ah, crisps, be like, oh, she's doing it again. Like, you just be aware that you, like, you're watching yourself doing it. So, like, just be like, oh, yeah, of course, this is the thing. This is... And then when you next notice it, it's like, oh, this is the chance for me to do the other thing.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. But also, as well, the crucial thing, I think it's so important, is to not be horrible to yourself when you find that you have self-sabotaged again, even when you've tried not to, because you will just continue to do it for the rest of your life. You just have to be aware of it, and the more aware of it you are, the more you can be kind to yourself and kind of look at ways that will suit you. But then you'll do it again, and then you'll be like, no, I've done that thing again. But it's the more you don't, because your brain like forms little pathways and it takes the easiest route. You've created a pathway that is self-sabotaging, so it will always want to do that. The idea is that you now create another pathway, another option for those firing nerves to go like, oh, actually, there is another way, but you have to do that so many you have so to do that the same amount of
until
times
that put up path becomes so well trodden that your brain's like, well, that one obviously, duh.
Yeah,
because right now
hummus,
it's like,
and hummus and vegetable crudités, that's just duh. As likely as crisps,
that's what we have, you know.
Yeah,
but you just got to put those things in place. Yeah. Oh, Steve, I got to go buy some vegetable crudités, and I got to do my work that I've been putting off for weeks.
Sure,
I've been putting it off because I do not want to look on the reality of my work.
Yes, but it's fine because the reality of your work is your work, and if it's not as good as you hoped, then you have the power brilliantly to make it better. Like, but you can't make it better until you've seen what it,
so
the standard it is.
I can't make it better until I've seen it. Oh, okay, I feel so free. Okay,
great. Well, I hope you do too, Joan.
Joan, I hope that's been of some help. It's really, really clear from your writing that your elf is that you are afraid of, you know, how good your you believe you have so much potential, which we obviously do as well, and you're afraid of it, and you just got to be so brave and be like, yeah, my first things will be bad, you know.
And remember that you haven't seen people's bad stuff because they don't publicise it, do they?
Oh my God. The Very Hungry Caterpillar, it was originally called A Week with Willy the Worm.
No, it wasn't. That's awful.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Things are crap to start with. And you can only improve if you take care of yourself and you stop eating the crisps.
Hopefully that helps. And that's the last NP, nobody panic, until Feb.
2021, can you believe that?
So use Jan to really attack those self-sabotaging
Make
habits.
Make some nice and lists and really write the list. Don't just write like, oh, I'm shit at this. Be like, but why? Really, really.
What is your elf saying? And what is your elf saying?
Exactly. And I think if you've... we can't be more any clearer than that, okay?
No.
So I think this has been a nice one. I feel very positive.
It's been a lovely one. I've enjoyed it. Please do follow us on Twitter at NobodyPanicPod or me at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates.
Email us nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com if you have any ideas for something that you would like us to tackle in février. That's French for February.
Oh, très bien.
And yeah, thank you so much for listening this year. It's been a hard year, but we've really loved being in your ears. It's been an absolute pleasure and a delight.
It has been, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate all your lovely, lovely messages and things, and your support has been really magic. And Stevie, it's been a pleasure.
An absolute honour and a delight, Tessa. An officer and a gentleman.
An officer and a gentleman to you.
And yes, see you in Feb, guys.
See you in February.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.